A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
And we're here, you know, before we even get to the show, let's just deal with the stupid weather. Are you as sick of it as I am?
Yes, and you know what? I talked to my dad the other day, and he said up north, they are supposed to get 10 to 30 more inches of snow within the next few days. He said his snowplow bill for April will be more than the rest of the winter combined.
See, that's why I need to live where I live. Because I'm having temper tantrums, literal temper tantrums in the morning when I get out and the car has frost on it.
I think spring's never going to get here. That's the way it's starting to feel.
It's been dragging.
It has.
Because of that, we've got a segment at the end of the show today that's hopefully going to help a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a bright color that's going to make everyone happy. And there's actually a little history lesson to go along with it, which I find very intriguing. I'm excited about
this. It's a fun segment. And
it is.
Basically, we use Thomas Jefferson, our third president, as a springboard for that whole conversation.
Right.
Like Betsy said, it's very interesting, and that's coming up in the last segment today, so stick around for that.
And also in the last segment, we're going to announce the winner of that free garbage can cleaning from Eco 190. I'm sure that everyone is going to stick around to hear who that winner is, because everyone wants their stinky garbage cans cleaned.
Yeah, definitely. So that's coming up at the end. And we're also going to be giving away another prize. It's like giveaway
week.
It's
like prize day.
Right. We're going to go back to our Facebook page, and we've got a question from a listener there that we're going to answer. Now, it's a good question, and it's going to win that listener $50. But to answer it, we're actually doing something that's interesting and, quite honestly, a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, are you as nervous as I am?
I'm very nervous. We're going to be in the studio with Dan Altina, the president of Repco Light, our boss. Yeah, that's going to be fun. It should be fun.
It will be
it's
fun.
It's going to be
nerve-wracking. He's very good.
Though. Hopefully, we still have jobs when that's over.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Yeah, that's coming up. But right now, we're in the studio with Joel Ryder, who's the executive director of Home Repair Services in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it's a remarkable nonprofit organization, and they offer tons of DIY help to everyone in the community for free. Joel, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Dan and I just found out about Home Repair Services not too long ago, and we're guessing that there are a lot of listeners who maybe have never even heard of you. So why don't you just quickly tell us who you guys are and kind of what you do?
Great. Yeah, we're the best kept secret, I think, in Kent County and in West Michigan. So we want to change that dynamic. Mm-hmm. So Home Repair Services has been around for 39 years in Kent County. We're at 1100 South Division, right in the city of Grand Rapids. And our mission really is to strengthen homeowners throughout the area. And we do that in a variety of ways. Our original missional effort was to strengthen folks through emergency repairs, health and safety. So if somebody needed a furnace replaced or a roof that was leaking, we had a crew and still do that will come out and support that family with dignity and getting the repair made. But through the journey of our 39 years, we also came to a place that said we should empower and equip homeowners to do for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that has led us into a series of programs that, again, we strengthen people in their own skills and in equipping them for home remodeling, for basic repairs around the house, and through lots and lots of education.
Now, there are all kinds of things that you guys do, but today we want to talk about something called the Remodel Together program.
You bet. The Remodeling Together program really focuses on the space in our houses where we spend probably the most time and often have the lens of, I'd really like this to look better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you get a few estimates and you start to go, wow.
Hey, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, right.
As it is.
Well, kitchens are one of the most expensive things you can remodel in your home.
Right. So you can sit there and go, I am priced out of this.
Yeah,
the desire is there, but I'm just priced out of it.
Right.
So Home Repair Services in 2011 launched a program called Remodeling Together, and it's really designed to throw some fuel on folks that are in that spot and say, I have a dream and a desire for a new kitchen, and I would do it myself if I knew how.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to come alongside folks that bring us that dream and desire with education and access to low-cost cabinets and countertops and hardware. And then we even go a step further and we say, we'll bring you a coach to your home to get you through this journey so your project ends up being something you're exceptionally proud of. And all of that support is absolutely free.
And what about the income restriction? I'm assuming there's a restriction.
Wrong.
There is no restriction.
No restrictions.
See, I actually knew that. I was just
setting
it up.
No restriction.
It is such a cool thing.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this before.
So, yeah, we feel that if somebody's willing to invest in themselves mm-hmm. through education and comes to us with that dream and desire, we're gonna support the heck out of it and at no charge. And we're not going to worry about what your income is. We really are more interested in the passion part.
So walk us through exactly how this works. Now, and let's just start with the kitchen cabinets. I know that you guys have a couple of different options. Well, I mean, there's a number of different options, but a couple of different tiers or categories. Why don't you?
Yeah. So when we launched the program, we started building cabinets in a shop that we have in our building, and that worked okay. But then we developed some relationships. Two great companies in Grand Rapids, William Kitchen and Bath and Standard Kitchens and Bath, said, you know what, we'll support your mission, and we'll provide a low-cost factory-built cabinet option. So we have a display of those mm-hmm. in our building. But we still knew that there was a portion of folks out there that even at a couple $1,000s of an entry point was still beyond their reach.
Okay, now let's hold on a second. These finished cabinets that you were talking about, what is the price on those? You just kind of set a couple
depends on
thousand.
What the client picks. So we do have a nice selection. So it most of those, I think we did an average last year, and it came out to about $2,300 in terms of the 24 kitchens that we did with people throughout the area. And
so cabinets for your kitchen for $2,300
and countertops.
And countertops.
I never would have fathomed that.
That's for the pre-produced ones.
Correct.
Now, you make some on-site, and that's where I interrupted
you.
So,
yeah, in this past March, we reopened that cabinet shop. We changed it around a little bit this time around. So when we first started doing it, we were just building standard box sizes, and we would put them out on the lobby floor and hope they would sell, and
just
people could make
that
work. this time around, part of our Remodeling Together program is we'd come out to the homeowner's house at the very beginning, and we'd come up with a new design for them that they're happy with, and then we build these new our cabinet brand to that design. So it's a custom built in-house line of cabinets, which actually got us to a price point where the first 13 sets that we built with the countertop came out to about under $1,500.
Now the homeowner needs to finish those themselves,
yeah.
Right?
The good news is that we give them the space in our building.
It doesn't, I mean, it just keeps getting better. It's uh-huh. the craziest thing. You had us in your
yep.
facility, and you walked us through everything. And that's the thing I kept thinking is, okay, and the catch is, and the catch
right.
is, and there isn't one. And there's just more and more benefit. The space to do mm-hmm. the finishing. When we were there, I think there were four sets of cabinets
yeah.
all being finished mm-hmm. with whatever. You know, the homeowners pick out what they want to put on them. And they were staining them. They were painting them. All kinds of different things.
Right. It's just an incredible thing. And it's really cool that you can get a lot out of this program and there is no restriction. We're talking with Joel Ryder from Home Repair Services on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. And we're just discussing this really cool program that they have called Remodeling Together. Now, once people have picked their cabinets and things like that, they've contacted you and gotten this process started. What's the next step for them?
So the very first thing is we arrange a time for our staff to come out to the home. We do the measuring of the existing kitchen. Mm-hmm. We have all the software to do the dreaming and designing so we can show the homeowner on paper. Here's what your kitchen could and should look like based on your dream.
And I think it's really important because you showed us, you know, some videos, some photos of things like that. This is the real deal. The design work that you're getting isn't subpar. I mean, you guys
no.
are giving good design work.
So, yeah, we've BJ, who does it for us, has got probably 200-plus kitchen designs under his belt that have actually gone to fruition. And probably another couple hundred that are probably still out there to be done. So learned a lot of tips and tricks along the way, and especially working in older homes mm-hmm. where the number one request is, I would love more storage. I would love more surface space as I prepare meals, etc. So he's putting all that bank of knowledge to work for everybody he gets a chance to work with. So we start with the design. We get that approved. From there, the client comes into our showroom and takes a look at the cabinets that they can select from. Once the cabinet's been selected, we can price it out with countertops and we can move forward in terms of, you know, how's the budget look. Mm-hmm. We actually have a counseling program too. So if somebody needs a little help in figuring out how to manage the budgeting part, we can hook them up with one of our financial coaches to make sure that the funds are going to be there to make sure that the project is finished.
So I guess the thing that I think is so cool is just you're working with people to help them update this space that, like you said, is so critical and important to the home. You know, and once your kitchen starts to feel better, everything starts to feel better because you spend so much time in that, and it's such a functional space, or it needs to be a functional space.
Right.
And when it works, everything starts to flow a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So I really like that aspect of it. And I love the aspect that you will also help them get the knowledge they need to install that. So why don't you, in the last little bit that we've got, talk about the install process and how that part works.
Sure. So we encourage people to take four of our free workshops. They're on Saturdays, couple-hour class on how to do some of the things that are going to be very helpful with a kitchen install, like cabinet installation, for one. if a client will take four of these classes, the coaching is absolutely free to them. And so it makes tons of sense. That
so does the coach come with a whistle? And one of those little bullhorn things?
Absolutely not.
Hammer, hammer, hammer. Faster. Does he create stress, or is he there to relieve stress?
Absolutely relieve stress.
Excellent.
So it's a professional who's done this throughout their life and loves to give back through organizations like Home Repair Services. So it's going to be in your home working alongside you. It's not to do it for you, because this is a do-it-yourself, DIY all the way. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have that coach alongside, really, when those key moments come, like hanging cabinets and doing some of the trim and some of the trickier things that a homeowner runs into. And that's how we get a great outcome on these kitchens.
It is so cool, because think when you're done, you've installed your own kitchen cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
You've done all of that. You've learned all kinds of stuff. You've improved your home.
You get a sense of pride by doing so much of it yourself, and then you have the ability to go forward and do the next room and the next room, because you have this base set of skills. So, wait, now I know how to do tile and do a cabinet, so now I could go and do a bathroom, because it's very similar things, and, you know, there's no end to it.
And that's what you see, isn't it, with the people that you work with?
Definitely a pebble in the pond moment. So once you've done the kitchen, you feel empowered, encouraged, equipped, and ready to do other rooms throughout the house. And that's what we love to see.
No wage restriction.
The only thing, we try to stay within the basic footprint of Kent County. We will go over the lines maybe 5 to 10 miles, but we're trying to keep this somewhat regional for us, so we're not going all over Kingdom Come.
Yep.
But the big thing, dream, desire, willingness to do it yourself, and we're going to come alongside and make sure you've got a great kitchen when this is finished.
Excellent. Joel Ryder, if our listeners want to get in touch with you and get more information, how's the best way they can do that?
Go to our website, homerepairservices.org. Tons of information there, and take it from there.
We strongly encourage you to check it out. They have so many services that they offer, even just the training classes.
Yeah.
So interesting. Definitely check them out. Joel, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're in the studio with Dan Altina, president of Repco Light, and Betsy and I are going to do our best to keep our jobs.
Yes.
Find out if we do when we come back.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, we answer a lot of questions at Repco Light, but sometimes, once in a while, a question comes up that actually raises what seems like 50 more questions, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times, in order to help solve a paint problem, we actually need your help. We need you to do some homework. So today we want to answer a Facebook question to demonstrate all of the things that help us to determine what may be going on in any given situation in your home or possibly on a job site.
Right. And to help us do that, we're joined in the studio by Repco Light's president, Dan Altina, our boss.
Yes.
Dan, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Well, we're glad you're here, but we are admittedly a little nervous.
Yes.
Hopefully we still have jobs when we're done with this.
That'd be great.
Anyway, Dan, the question that we wanted to start with is from Kate Brink. So, Kate, you're going to get a $50 gift certificate just for asking the question.
Yay, Kate.
So that's good for you. That's going to help you move ahead and get this problem fixed, or maybe do another room.
Right.
But anyway, the question that Kate asked is this. I painted my bathroom, but now it's peeling along the top of the shower wall. What causes this, and what can I do to prevent it from happening again? So, seems easy, right? Very basic.
It seems like
it. What could possibly be complicated about this? Dan, why don't you just tell Kate exactly what's wrong with her bathroom and get her fixed.
Okay. Getting to what caused the problem takes a lot of investigating. And of course, getting to how to fix the problem, we first have to know what the problem is.
Right.
So really, we have to take this step by step. And I can't just tell you, Kate, what you need to do is use XYZ product, apply it like this, wait a certain amount of time, and then use your shower. Because I don't want to give you a false impression of what you might be up against.
Mm-hmm.
That may be that simple,
right?
But it may be very complicated. So a few extra questions helps. So if I was working behind the counter and Kate came in and said that to me, my first question would be, you mentioned that you painted this bathroom. Is that when the problem occurred? Or was it already evident in some way before you started painting that there was maybe a trouble in this area along the lines of an uneven surface or some sign that may be starting to peel? If it happened immediately after you painted, that might be a clue as to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd also want to ask some more general questions about what is the surface underneath, if you know? Is it drywall? Is it plaster? Is it peeling down to the bare surface? Or is it peeling down to another layer of paint?
Mm-hmm.
Since it's a bathroom, it's most likely that moisture is a culprit here. So we'll go with that assumption, and then we'll ask a few more questions and see if we can narrow it down. Have you peeled any of these chips off? If you try to get under it with a putty knife, does it continue to peel and spread beyond what's visible?
So you recommend that?
Yeah, I would give that a
get
try.
Up there and
there's no point in doing as little work as possible. Get it done right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to get it behind it with a putty knife. Sometimes the chips will be very brittle and stiff. Sometimes they'll be quite pliable and flexible. That's also a clue for us. Bring a chip in. By all means, bring a chip in. That gives us the ability to see it ourselves. Chips could be large or small. Sometimes flaking happens in a very small way. Sometimes it's a big way.
Well, even getting large or small chips can help us figure out at least part of what's going on.
Right.
I've had people bring in bags of almost what looks like powder.
Yep.
Right.
And this is, well, it tells you a lot of information just from that.
Right. What does the surface, the underlying surface look like? Is it rough? Is it smooth? Is it chalky? What does the backside of the chip look like? Is it rough and or smooth and or is it chalky? How many layers of paint are coming off? Is it just one, this most recent layer that you just put on? Or does it appear that there's multiple layers? Is the color on the back side a different color than on the front side, for example?
Because we've run into that where people will put new paint on a surface and it peels. And the instant reaction or the thought is that the new paint is peeling. There's a big problem with that.
Right.
They bring in a chip and we realize, no, it's paint
it's
from years
coat.
And years and years ago that's
right.
failing. Now, we still need to figure out what caused that to all of a sudden become evident. But it's not the new paint. That's why that matters.
Right. And so it's important for us to do some investigation and make sure we're going down the right track before we make a recommendation. And that's the reason why we have to ask what might seem like an intrusive amount of questions.
Right.
Where is it happening? Not only is it spreading, but does it seem to be happening in other areas? Is there a pattern to where it's happening?
Like other areas of the room, other areas of the home, or both of those things?
Yeah, other areas of the room or an adjacent room. Is this on the second floor or on the top floor? Is there a roof above this? Or is there another floor of rooms above this?
Maybe a bathroom above it.
Right, or maybe a roof above it that
so
may have leaked.
Get the bigger picture because otherwise, we don't really have much to go on other than that specific problem.
We're digging through a paint question that we received on our Facebook page and basically trying to demonstrate to everybody out there all the information that we need to help you get the solution that you want when you're dealing with an issue like that.
Right.
We're in the studio with Dan Altina, president of Repcolite. Dan, can you hang with us over the break? We're pretty much out of time right now. Can you hang with us till the next segment and
sure.
keep going? Excellent. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, and we're back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, we are back in the studio with president of Repcolite Paints, Dan Altina. And
we still have jobs so far, Dan?
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Oh, right,
oh, we got to wait and sweat it out.
Dang it.
Anyway, we're answering a Facebook question, and we're using it to demonstrate what types of information we need when you come into the store with any sort of paint problem. We're telling you basically what homework you have to do before you come to us.
And so you can get the best answer possible.
Right. Taking pictures is always a huge help. If you do nothing else, at least take pictures of the problem so that we have some sort of idea what's going on.
Bring in some samples. Check some of the adjoining rooms to see if the problem has continued there. Those are just some of the things that, we should do when we're getting ready to come into the store. What other things are there?
Well, like Betsy mentioned, take pictures, bring chips in of the actual peeling paint, and be observant. Are there stains evident? Does it look like there's something previously that happened here that had been repaired? Look for some of these clues to give you an idea if this is a broader problem that someone tried to fix before. I come at that from a personal experience, which is I had a bathroom ceiling that was really problematic. It started as cracks on the ceiling.
Like just hairline?
Just small cracks. Okay. And you know, long, relatively straight cracks. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't quite sure what was going on. But to me, it seems like the paint isn't going to be starting to crack from the outside. Something's happening behind there that's causing the paint to crack. And in fact, that's what it was. I have an old house with plaster walls and ceilings. The roof must have leaked long before I bought the house. And over time, that damage continued to sort of evolve, even though it was the roof had since been fixed. Mm-hmm. What eventually happened is the ceiling essentially fell down over time. And you know, it wasn't until probably my second or third attempt to patch it and touch it up that I realized that I was just putting something on the surface and that the problem really existed much deeper in the wall.
Right.
So that is a lot of times what you might see. Now, in a bathroom, we would assume that there's something to do with moisture from the shower that's causing these problems. Mm-hmm. It's common that condensation from repeated showers, the cold exterior walls that are going to attract moisture. So when you take a shower, a ceiling that's open to the attic, let's say, or a wall that's an exterior wall, condensation will form on those walls. That happens over and over and over and over again over the course of many years. It can actually start to damage the plaster, drywall, previous layers of paint, and not become immediately evident. Until later.
Right.
Now, in this case, we'd also look at the chips. Are they flexible? Are they rigid? That will also give us a clue.
What are we looking for there?
Again, if it's a single layer, the most recent one that Kate put on, it's probably going to be flexible because it'll be a latex paint. It'll be thin, almost like paper. Mm-hmm. If it's multiple layers of paint that are coming off, it's not something Kate did. It's mm-hmm. something that happened long ago. And for example, oil-based paint continues to harden and get more brittle with age. At some point, it reaches a stage where it's not able to handle the changes in moisture and humidity that create movement in your walls or, say, your exterior siding. And then paint starts to fail, starts mm-hmm. to peel off. It could be as simple as that. It's just a paint that's gotten so old.
Underneath everything.
The very first layer. That it now nothing is going to stick. It's not her fault. It's maybe the straw that broke the camel's back. The last.
What do you do with the camel at that point? What do you do when that's the situation and the base paint is failing?
My wife would say that's time to start shopping for a new house.
Okay. Yeah.
There again, it's time to take everything off as much as you possibly can. If you try to do a minimal amount of touch-up patching, you're going to be doing it again next year. This is what I experienced with my ceiling in my bathroom. At some point, you have to say, I'm tearing it all out and I'm putting new drywall in. Now, I'm not saying that's the answer here.
No.
Right. We would know if we saw the chip. We'd have a much better picture. Get off as much as you can. Inspect the surface. Is it chalky? Is it falling apart? If so, then yeah, that involves some serious work. If it's a localized thing, it could be as simple as a contamination issue. The surface wasn't cleaned, or as I mentioned, we have this continual moisture drying condensation process. Well, along with that comes residual, you know, shampoo, whatever,
that
ends up on the surface, contaminates the surface, and prevents adhesion.
So it could be as simple as that.
Cleaning.
Right.
Could be as simple as cleaning.
There's so many different things that could be going on. And that's, I guess, what we want to try to stress with this question. You know, for our listener, Kate, the steps forward would be to start by doing that. Take some pictures, bring some samples in, some of the chips, things like that. Take a look, like Dan said, for stains and evidence of other problems that might have occurred, and take a look at the rest of the room. You know, come into the store with that information, and we're going to be able to help you figure out what's going on. Yes, it's a lot of work potentially coming
right.
in. It's homework.
The reason we want to go through all those steps is so that we don't say, well, first you need to sand it all down to bare surface, and then you need to prime it with this special primer, and then you need to put this concrete
and
on
then
it.
And then rip it down and put new drywall up.
Instead, the answer is wash it, rinse it, let it dry, and paint it again.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want somebody to go through 10 extra steps.
But on the flip side, if you start with assuming it's this problem and you wash it, you paint it, you do all that again, and it was another problem,
right.
you're going to deal with a continuation
so
of
smart
the issue.
To, yeah,
you haven't solved anything at that point.
Right.
Assumptions don't get you anywhere.
It's important to do the homework. It's important to do the investigative work so that you know what's really going on. My bathroom at home, if I would have just assumed, well, somebody did a bad job of painting it 10 years ago, 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just fighting that, I probably would have never really realized that ultimately this was a problem from the roof. This was a roof leak 25 years ago mm-hmm. that's caused all this stuff to happen. A lot of times when you see a house, an older house, that has the popcorn type ceiling in it, it's an indication that something happened back
mm-hmm.
then. And when that popcorn stuff starts to come off in places, that's the second sign that now the original fix, which was a Band-Aid, didn't really solve the underlying problem.
Now
it just
the time
covered
to
it
get
up.
The sign up in the yard.
Yeah,
you know,
now it's
realtor.
Time to, right,
yeah.
right.
While it's still mostly up there.
right, yeah.
Before it all comes down. We have fixes for that, too.
Exactly. Bottom line, Kate, be observant. Think about the things that you might need to bring in. And honestly, if you have any questions before you head out to the store to get your answers, call us. Tell us what you're struggling with, and we'll help you figure out what kind of things you can bring with you to the store so we can best help you figure out what's going on. Dan, thanks so much for being with us today. And
helping us answer
our
question. You don't know that yet.
I was hoping. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Good job.
Thank you.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, this last segment is going to be about paint colors and decorating
mm-hmm.
and finding a color that's going to make your home feel like spring inside.
Yes, yeah, so it won't actually get here.
Yeah, I don't
ever.
Know. I'm giving up on spring outside.
Yep, me
Let's
too.
Just focus on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And color can help you get there.
Right.
And we're going to talk about a specific color.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to that point, we've got this cool little history segue with Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson was a really intriguing person. We all know that he was the author of the Declaration of Independence. He was our third president. He died on the 4th of July. Maybe you know that he spoke six languages. But things people don't know are that he loved books. When the British attacked the Library of Congress in 1814 and burned all the books, he gave his personal library to refill it. Do you know how many books were in there?
I do not know.
6,487.
That's way more than my 55 Hardy Boy books. And it's a way more well-rounded library.
I'm sure it
it's
is.
It's good I wasn't the third president of the United
it's
States.
It's very
or
good.
Or a president at all.
Yes. The other intriguing thing is he was a foodie, one of the first foodies, we'll say. He was
a foodie.
Yes. It's a current term. It's okay if you don't understand.
Oh, I'm too old to understand.
Anyway,
okay.
He popularized things like French fries, which I know you love.
I do.
Vanilla ice cream and mac and cheese.
Where would we be without these staples?
No,
he didn't invent them.
No, he
We're
didn't
not saying
them.
That, but he did popularize
yeah,
them.
Yeah, he brought them
back.
From other places.
Yep. Very cool.
Yes. He was also an architect and designer.
Mm-hmm.
He took over 40 years to complete his home, Monticello.
So apparently he was slow at it.
No. Wait, I found this great quote for him that kind of explains
right.
why it took so long. Putting up and pulling down is one of my favorite amusements.
And he said that in regards to
his home.
His home.
Yes.
So I bet his wife loved that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Finally, the dining room is. Oh, he's at it again. My mom did that. That's how
uh-huh.
she operated. Every time
yep.
we'd come home from school, at least once a week, the back
mm-hmm.
entry was a new color.
Yeah.
And there's mom's little paintbrush.
Uh-huh.
You know, the walls got increasingly smaller because of the layers of paint. But Thomas
right.
Jefferson was that.
Yeah, he was a visionary.
He would have loved Repco Light.
He would have absolutely
He'd loved our show.
Yes.
I wonder if he's listening. wherever he is.
Sure. So he was a visionary. He was obviously one of our founding fathers, president, trailblazer. But what people don't know is he was also a very cutting edge interior designer.
Which completely catches you off guard.
Yeah,
you know,
it's mind blowing.
The business cards, Thomas Jefferson, third president, visionary, interior designer. I mean,
yeah.
That's awesome.
I awesome.
Love a business
collector
card.
Collector of
like
books.
That. Yeah, collector of everything. Anyway, what Betsy's talking about is that home, Monticello, mm-hmm. that we referenced earlier, that took yep. him 40 years to get to the point where he liked it,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yes.
But that home underwent some restoration projects in 2010.
Yeah.
And one of the one that we're most focused on in this segment right mm-hmm. here, was the dining room.
Yeah.
See, in 1936. Mm-hmm. Other restoration was done.
Yeah.
And the walls were scraped in the effort to determine what was the original color. What
yeah.
color did Thomas Jefferson have on the walls originally here? Mm. So they scraped the paint off very, very carefully. And they got to the point where they determined that the base color was this blue color.
Mm-hmm.
And so the walls were painted in 1936, a color called Wedgwood Blue.
Yeah.
And we have had it that way all the way from 36 to 2010.
Yes.
And everybody has loved that color. It's on dining rooms all throughout America.
It's a beautiful color.
Turns out it wasn't the original color.
They were wrong.
In 2010, this project went underway. They did some testing. I think the testing was done in the 90s.
Yeah.
Using
yep.
Computers mm-hmm. and more,
the new technology.
More high-end analysis. Mm-hmm. And they determined that rather than the blue,
mm-hmm.
the original color was a chrome bright yellow.
Yeah. And the woman that we read about who actually went in and did all of this testing and was kind of on the cutting edge of all of this, she said she was terrified to tell people that this was really the color because people so loved that Wedgwood blue. And what
know.
Was everyone going to think? They were
right.
going to hate her.
She didn't know
her.
What the reaction was going to be.
Yeah.
But in the interest of historical accuracy,
yep.
the repaint went ahead
mm-hmm.
and it opened to the public in 2010. And like we said, the dining room was now this brilliant chrome yellow,
yes.
a vivid contrast, remarkable contrast to that previous muted blue that we knew as Wedgwood blue.
Yeah, so the result of all of this, if you do a side-by-side comparison and actually look at these two rooms with the furnishings in there but the two different colors, it is amazing the difference. Now, yes, I love Wedgwood blue. It's a beautiful mm-hmm. color, and the room was beautiful, painted that. But when you put that chrome yellow in there, it takes it to a whole new level, and that room is stunning.
Right, and that's the interesting thing. The room went from looking really good.
It was beautiful.
Everybody loved it.
Yeah.
To something way beyond
Holy
that.
Holy cow, yeah.
And the bottom line that we want to talk about on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, as we transition now to the actual decorating part of this,
right.
the bottom line is that a bold color
mm-hmm.
can take a beautiful room and make it stunning. Now, most people out there
mm.
have rooms in their home that we would say are beautiful. You know, it's exactly
yeah.
the way we
mm-hmm.
want it.
Yep.
Whatever color is on the wall, we decided that's exactly what we love. And the tendency is to think that we nailed it. You know, that room's done, we can move on.
Right.
But maybe it's time to take a lesson from a founding father and the guy who brought ice cream, or at least popularized ice cream here. Take a lesson from him. Maybe it's time to stretch a little bit.
Yeah, maybe it's time to buck the trend and try this yellow. It will brighten everything up in this slightly dull time that we have with the weather outside. So a lot of people are probably sitting there thinking, well, how on earth do I bring yellow into my decorating? I mean, it's just
or
one of those.
Why?
Well,
you know, just because Thomas Jefferson did it isn't really reason to do it.
In my book, that is
okay.
a reason to do
but
it.
But there are other reasons.
There are other reasons.
Yellow is a color that makes us happy. I mean,
yeah,
there's this whole color psychology thing.
Yep.
And sometimes it feels very, very touchy-feely to me. But there is a component of that that's absolutely true.
Right.
When we're surrounded by yellow, you know, the sun is yellow, the
mm-hmm.
warmth, it just gives this idea and this feeling, this atmosphere of warmth, of spring, of happiness. All of that comes from yellow.
Well, it can instantly infuse your space with a feeling of life and of energy. It just gives us that uplifting mood that we
need right now on this 104th day of January.
Longest January ever.
Yes. Do you ever remember a January that went this long?
No, I really am sick of it.
Yeah, holy cow.
Yes.
So the yellow can warm up our moods. It can bump up our spirits a little bit.
Right.
But it can be a little bit tricky to work with. And that's what we want to wrap up with here today. And the trick to working with yellow
mm-hmm.
in your decorating is to use it appropriately and understand what it's doing. You know,
right.
understanding yellow, what we mean by that is this. You understand what the undertones do. Now, every color is the color that you see on the surface.
Right.
But there are always undertones.
Yeah.
You know, colors beneath it that influence it. What I mean by that is the yellow could lean towards the reds.
Yeah, the red undertones.
That's a red undertone, and it influences it in a certain way, making it a little more warm, a little more inviting.
Right. That's something, if it's a warmer yellow, that you can use on walls, big pieces of furniture. You can use a lot of that. A yellow with blue undertones makes it a little bit cooler, and you want to use that sparingly. Maybe small accessories and maybe really small pieces of furniture, but you don't necessarily want to paint your walls that, because it just makes it cold instead of that warm, inviting feel.
But even in those little amounts, it's going to do remarkable things in a room.
Right.
Bright yellows, probably keep those out of bedrooms and offices.
Yeah.
They tend to disrupt sleep and concentration a little bit, but they're perfect for a dining room.
As Jefferson showed us.
Right. Create energy and conversation.
Right. It's great. And a buttery yellow, a real pale yellow, things like that, they can work as neutrals. They're beautiful as a neutral because you can put so many other colors with it.
Right. If you're nervous, you start with small accents, with vases, picture frames, a bowl full of lemons. It's something that decorators do all the time to put a little yellow in a room without overpowering a space.
Right.
Use throw pillows, a bedspread, things like that. Simple things to bring the color in. If you're a little more bold, you could actually go for an accent wall.
Or you can paint a whole room and be Thomas Jefferson bold, which I would like to try sometime, by the
way. Right, but remember, to be Thomas Jefferson bold doesn't mean that you have to go crazy with this really bright chrome yellow that he chose. Even a soft buttery yellow, a barely there yellow, right? Isn't that what you called it?
Yes,
I
barely
feel weird
there.
Saying that. Would you say that part?
A barely there yellow?
Yes, that yellow. It's still something that will make a huge impact on a room.
Right. So now you might be asking yourself, how do you actually pick the right yellow? It isn't really difficult to get started. Look at magazines, maybe look at clothing, fabrics, things like that. Find the yellows that you're drawn to and start collecting those. Then bring them into the store and we can help you find some color chips that might coordinate with that, or at least get you started.
Right. Finally, use other colors to ground your yellows. You know, what we mean by that is gray, for example, is very popular right now. And that looks great with yellow accents.
Yep.
Natural wood tones can look amazing with buttery yellow walls. You know, things like rust reds can be used in your carpets or in rugs, more likely, and furniture to tone down yellow walls.
Yeah, it's great because a lot of people already have those grays and those neutral palettes going. So you can just bring in a little bit of that yellow, paint one wall yellow, and you're right on trend with Thomas Jefferson.
The bottom line is simply this: stretch. Be a little bit creative. I know we live in a conservative area when it comes to color, but we can still stretch a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Try some new things. Check out our show notes page for this episode.
Yeah.
And you'll see links to some Pinterest pages that Betsy put together that demonstrate all kinds of different rooms making all kinds of use of yellow.
There are some very cool things in there. You should go and check it out.
Well, anyway, we're out of time. That's
it.
All of the past episodes, including this one, will be online at repcolite.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for our email newsletter.
And now we want to give away the free garbage bin cleaning from last week. We had a number of really disgusting stories, but our favorite was from Robin Vasquez. Her garbage story wasn't so gross, but relatable.
It was relatable to me.
Yes.
I really liked it because her husband threw away some Legos and, of course, then had to dumpster dive to get them back
out. And you've been there before.
I feel this pain because I routinely clean stuff, throw important things away, and then spend a couple hours crawling through the garbage.
Yes.
So, Robin, you're the winner. We'll put you in contact with Tim Folkerts from Eco 190 Degrees, and he'll arrange your free garbage bin cleaning for you and with you. And we'd like to thank
Eco 190
for making that possible and letting us give something away.
Yeah.
Well, Betsy, what are you doing the rest of the day?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't either.
Dodging the weather.
Dodging the weather. Whatever you guys do, make sure paint's a part of it. We'd love to see you at Repco Light or any Port City paint store. We're open till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Get out there and see us. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help you make spring in your home, even if the outdoors is never going to cooperate.
No, never.
Thanks for listening.